Good evening, College Basketball.
I really wish our audience could hear Chad as we get started. Okay, we're starting in three. I can't find the button.
Should I hit the button and start over again?
No. I just want everybody to, nobody ever gets to hear that stuff. I can't find the button. We're gone, Chad.
Anyhow, this is our first bracket rundown show of the season. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Small cast tonight. We have a lot bigger cast than we go along the season, I think. But just David Griggs and John Titel with me tonight. Our good friend Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org is going to somewhat be participating as well, as he has sent me an email with some teams that he wants us to discuss.
Right.
But this is a bracket rundown show. David, what is a bracket rundown show?
Well, Chad, I'm glad you asked. And it's the first one we've done this year. And to everybody out there, there seems to be this swarm of people that always wants to point out, oh, it's too early for bracketology. Why are you doing brackets now? Okay, if that's how you feel, turn it off right now and watch something else.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Well, not you. You don't have a choice. Is it too early for this to really make any sense of and be indicative of what it's going to actually be like in March? Yes, probably. But is it fun to do? And is it a good checkpoint for where teams earlier already are? Yes, it is. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to run through the bracket line by line. If you've ever seen a bracket before, there's one seats, two seats, three seats. What we're essentially going to do is put this together a line at a time and debate. And I think the format is Chad is arbitrating. I don't know how that happened, but it did. He's going to call on one of us. We're going to throw out the teams that we think should be on that line. The other person is going to commentate, and you as well, and we're going to discuss. And then Chad is ultimately going to decide who's on that line. And you want to know what's neat right now? Right now down there, Chad, the bracket is below us. We can't see it because we haven't built it yet, but right down there, it's there.
You went down and looked at it, you just ruined the entire show. So you
right, so don't look down there until you've watched the show. But we don't know what it is, but it's down there.
Well, I'll tell you what, David. I've just thrown up on the screen here what we're going to be using tonight. Let's kind of tell everybody what this is a little bit before we actually start filling in teams here.
It's like an Excel sheet.
It looks like an Excel sheet. It does not look like a bracket because what we're going to build is what's called a seed list. And a seed list is a ranking of the 68 teams in the NCAA tournament in order 1 through 68. Now, the furthest column on the right there, which has the 13 through 16 seeds, those are all your single bid conferences. We're not going to spend any time on that. I'm just going to fill them in at the end of the show. What we are going to discuss is probably the top 48 to 50 teams, which will include the automatic bid winners from the top conferences, as well as our projected at-large picks for the 36 at-large. You can actually see the bottom left corner there, there's a little counter that will tick down as we put teams in and tell us how many spots are left in the field.
Yeah.
And we want to define a few terms first. There's a term that we're going to use called protected seed. And all that means, David, is that they're on the 1 through 4 line, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it is. The term protected seed, it's more of a figure of speech than it is everything else. Technically, these teams are protected, but they're protected from being in a road-type environment in the round of 64, which is kind of laughable when you stop and think about it. But I suppose, where's a first-round site this year?
Columbia, South Carolina, yep.
Yeah. So if Duke was sent to Columbia, and for some reason Clemson or South – well, they couldn't play Clemson. It's in the same conference. But say South Carolina was on the 16 line. Well, they couldn't match those two up because that's a home that's a road environment or a road-ish environment for the team. So 1 through 4 is protected from that. But I don't ever remember a scenario where a team was moved ever because it violated – it didn't protect the top four. Do you?
I can't really remember that. A couple of terms you may hear are first ballot. Basically, that means the teams that are pretty much locked. These are teams that the NCAA tournament selection committee would vote in on the very first, even before they even start their meetings.
Yeah.
It's normally is up to 32 teams, more realistically about 28 teams. But somebody that's on the first 7 to 8 seed lines is probably a first ballot team.
Right. But essentially
a couple other terms. Bubble, obviously, is a team that may or may not be in the field. Titel, we see a bunch of ratings here. That as we put teams up, we're going to take a look at some of these ratings, including the new net rating. I, And let me ask you this as we get going here. Are you a fan of the net rating for what you've seen so far, the NCAA's new metric that has replaced the RPI?
I'm a fan of any metric that can help us figure out the best teams to put in the tournament. Just to recap, the NET or NET NCAA evaluation tool, there's five components. Team value index, which considers who won and where it was played and stuff like that. Net efficiency, winning percentage, adjusted winning percentage, and scoring margin, but it's capped at 10. So if you're going to blow out a team by 50 versus put your scrubs in and only win by 10, same results, same effect.
Yeah. Right. And the other thing about the net that's different from the RPI, in addition to being more complex, is there's an like there's an artificial intelligence element to it, meaning of those five, it's weighted differently from what I understand. So say like your eighth and like he just named five, like say your eighth, 10th, 9th, 7, and 47, there's a quotient that says, oh, that 47 is a bit of an outlier, so it's going to scale it back how it's rated to not throw the ranking out of whack. Is that correct? Joby's our numbers guy, but as the two of you understand it, is that correct?
Honestly, I'm not entirely certain because I still don't quite understand it as well as you do, I think, David.
So. Okay, well, anyway.
Quickly, I have a few other ratings that will be fleshed out here. The POM column, that's Ken POM ratings. SOS is a team strength of schedule. And the final column, we're going to actually show our colleague Joby Fortson's JNG ratings, which you can see up there on our website by clicking on that tab.
Yeah.
Should we get into it? And Titan, let me let you start things off here.
He gets to start.
Because I chose him, because it was a choice between him and the puppet, and I always choose against the puppet. But John, who do you think the top four teams are who would be the one seeds in the NCAA tournament?
So we got three easy picks, I think, for the one line and then a coin flip for the fourth. So there's two undefeated teams left in the nation, and since they're good teams with good schedules from good conferences, I would say that Michigan and Virginia have to be on the one line, and I don't think there's going to be too much pushback on that. Additionally, since Duke is ranked number one and they keep winning and their only loss is a neutral site loss to a great Gonzaga team, I think they make it. The fourth one, I think the teams in consideration, ironically, have all played each other. So I had Kansas in my bracket last Sunday, so I'll stick with them for now. The loss of Udoka Azubuike is going to be a huge factor with the committee to figure out if Kansas loses games without him, how much should they be penalized, especially because it's not going to be a situation where he's returning in March. He's done for the year as far as I can tell. Ironically, Kansas has two wins this year over two other great teams, including Michigan State and Tennessee, who I think are the other teams under consideration for the one line. But I'm one of those old school guys that if Kansas beat both those teams, I think Kansas has to be ranked or seeded ahead of those two teams.
All right, and just for everyone's reference, in the bottom right corner there, as we mentioned teams that we have not yet put in, I'm going to list them there just so we can keep track of teams we've discussed. But David, your thoughts on his 4-1 seeds?
Well, I agree with two of them, and surprisingly, two. Virginia isn't one of them. I know that they haven't lost, but they haven't really played the heavyweights that no, you can't buzz that. I can't finish.
Okay.
He said that he's like old school. Well, Gonzaga beat Duke on a neutral floor, and I know Gonzaga has the losses to Tennessee in a very close game and on the road at North Carolina, but nobody on this list has beaten a top 15 team on the road because the only team that has is North Carolina. I don't see why you should punish Gonzaga for not doing something that nobody else has done either, even though they have two losses. The other thing that he mentioned was the injuries. Gonzaga's getting healthy and Kansas really isn't. So I since Tennessee did beat them, I don't see how you can not have Tennessee up there as well. So like the order that I have is Michigan, Tennessee, Gonzaga, and Duke. And I know that Kansas beat Tennessee in overtime, but Kansas is getting beaten up a little bit. Kansas went to Iowa State, failed to win. And I just think that they're going in the other direction where the other teams are not.
Well, I definitely want to have this Kansas versus Tennessee debate in a second here. But David, let me start with the first debate that you started with here, which is Gonzaga versus Virginia. And yeah. I've got an undefeated team with three quadrant one wins, which is a brief quick definition here. A quadrant one or a tier one win is a win against one of the top 30 teams at home, top 50 teams on a neutral court, or top 75 teams on the road. Quadrant two, three, and four those numbers change. You can actually see them on the screen there. But you want a team that has two quadrant one wins over a team with three quadrant one wins. You want a team with two losses over a team with no losses. You want the team that's number six in the net versus the team that's number one in the net. Tytel, do you want to respond to this?
The answer is yes.
Scott Zaga's better than Virginia argument. Yes.
Yeah.
He makes a good argument, especially the one about the injuries, because I think that David's correct in pointing out that when you're losing a game, especially to good teams, but to anybody, without two of your good players, then you shouldn't be penalized too much. They lost by 3 to Tennessee. If they had Killian Tilly or Gino Crandall, I think that they would have won that game, but obviously it didn't happen because they didn't have those guys. The good news for Gonzaga is that as these other teams in good conferences lose to the other opponents in good conferences, Gonzaga could run the table in the WCC. And I think at the end of the season, Gonzaga is going to be a one seed. So I do not have a huge problem putting them in now. But Virginia, I think, is a near lock for a number one seed based on everything Chad just said.
Yeah, I can't justify knocking Virginia out. I'll tell you, David. Let's discuss that Kansas team again, though, because that's the one where if I'm going to exercise a veto power in favor of a Gonzaga or a Tennessee, that you may be able to convince them, because they do have the same number of losses with two of them. And they haven't won a game on the road yet.
Yeah, Chad, to pause a little bit here, something that we should have said at the beginning, this show is not trying to guess the committee or not trying to guess what it will be in March. It's our opinion of what it should be like now.
As of today, not as of March, correct?
Correct, yeah. Now, getting back to that, I mean, okay, let's look at the – I mean, Kansas's paper is amazing, but I guess early in the year, November and December, it's just are these – when you look at a team's merit, is it a qualifier or is it an indicator? And I think that if it's a qualifier, Gonzaga is not going to have the paper that a Kansas or a Virginia has, because they just don't play in the conference and they don't get that many opportunities. But if it's an indicator, this is a Gonzaga team that beat Duke without two key players, that lost to Tennessee by 3 without two key players, and that failed to win at North Carolina, who's in the top 15, and only one team has beaten a top 15 team on the road. As good as Kansas is and as good as Virginia is, they don't have a win that's as good as that loss at North Carolina. And that's where I am with them. Like, why would you have either one? That's why I'd have Gonzaga ahead of both of them.
You don't think beating Tennessee and Michigan State on neutral courts is as good as losing at North Carolina? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe if you add them together.
I'm just trying to understand this, because this is a Tennessee team that you also said you think blows on the one line.
Yes.
Tytel, do you want to defend Kansas? One of the things you look at there, number one strength of schedule in the entire nation, number one.
They're a great team, and they've been doing it without Azubuike. And the win against Oklahoma was big. The win the loss at Iowa State was tough, but – and 17 points is a lot, but Hilton Magic and Iowa State having all their players back. Sadly, the ASU loss is looking worse and worse. But ask Rick Barnes. Like, Rick Barnes lost to Kansas and he beat Gonzaga. Who do you think he's going to pick?
Yeah, let's take a quick look at that Tennessee profile. I don't know that you're going to be able to convince me at this point that this belongs on the one line. Although, I mean, they do have road wins, which Kansas doesn't have, David. And
yeah, they've got road wins and they've got a win against Gonzaga.
But they do. If they did lose to Kansas, so if you want to say Kansas versus Tennessee, don't you have to go with the head-to-head winner?
If Kansas were healthy and not getting blown out at Iowa State, absolutely.
I'll tell you what. At the end of the day, let me go back to Tytel's list here of Michigan, Virginia, Duke, Kansas. I'm not going to exercise any type of veto power on this line.
I was ready to
be convinced out of it, but I don't think you talked me out of it, David.
Well, you have every right to be wrong. Millions of people watching Chad be wrong here.
David, why don't you tell me who the next four best teams are? And there are three under consideration that I assume are probably somewhere on this line for you.
Yeah, well, Tennessee and Gonzaga, certainly. And then after that, we have Michigan State. Actually, it's those. Yeah, it's Michigan State. And then my next one was North Carolina. And North Carolina has some warts. I know that this is really high considering the loss to Tech. Not that losing to Texas was bad, but it might be bad by two-line standards. But I really, really liked their road win the other night, and I think it's something that no one else really has.
That win at NC State?
Yes.
Tytel, what do you think of those four teams?
I think that since we've already talked about Tennessee, Gonzaga, Michigan State, I love these guys on the two line. As far as the heels, I like them. I had somebody else in my bracket. I had Texas Tech last Sunday, and beating Oklahoma has been a very good week for guys from Lubbock. But Carolina went down the road to NC State and beat up on the Wolfpack in a hard-fought game that was fantastic. I hope people got a chance to watch it. So I think it's a coin flip, but I think that Carolina looks good. So I like all four of those guys.
Yeah, and the win at NC State combined with that win over Gonzaga is way better, David, than anything that Texas Tech has done.
I think so.
I think one of those is better than anything they've done, and combined they're way better.
Right. I really like this Texas Tech team, and I think at the end, if you can see their remaining schedule there, there are the opportunities in place that they need to really bloat up this resume and get it two line good. I don't know about one line good, but it's not there yet. Like if they go to Texas and win, and if they go to Kansas and win, and if they go to Oklahoma and win, then suddenly you're talking about a solid two line. But for now, North Carolina has the big win on the road and they don't have it yet.
All right. So I think we will leave Texas Tech under consideration, but leave this line alone as well. Although maybe let's just pull up that Michigan State profile because we didn't really discuss them much here. And let me ask you, David, is there an argument for Michigan State that this team could end up on the one line? Maybe that I don't think they're there now, but can they get there?
Well, yeah, I mean, they can. The opportunities are certainly there. I don't know if they're good enough to do that. When you play in this conference, and I don't know how many Big Ten teams we're going to have as protected seeds, but when you're talking about beating multiple protected seeds and beating more than one protected seed on the road, that seems to be sort of the benchmark for a one seed, isn't it? Did they beat a protected seed on the road? And they're certainly going to have those opportunities.
Right. And depending on what Ohio State does, there's a chance they may already have that. But
right, yeah.
Well, let me go for the three line here. And our good friend Rocco Miller cannot be with us tonight, but I do have some notes from him. So I'm going to put up what his next four teams are so the two of you could take a look at them and debate them. But he would have Texas Tech up next.
So Chad, in other words, you just didn't do any work yourself. You had Rocco do it for you, and then you didn't let him on the show.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm glad everybody out there is seeing this.
Okay. So – with my endorsement, Rocco's picks would have been Texas Tech, Nevada, Florida State, and Oklahoma for the next four teams. And Tytel, what do you think about those four teams next?
Oh, my.
Feel free to tear them apart.
I have to tear apart Nevada only because they got torn apart themselves the other day. So I think they have to drop to the four line. I love Texas Tech here. I like Oklahoma here, despite the fact that they lost to a good Texas Tech team who's on the same line. As far as Florida State, they've been leaking oil lately, so I would push them down a bit. Obviously, they host, I believe, Duke coming up this weekend, so a huge chance to get back up to the three line. But I have, along with Texas Tech and Oklahoma, I would lose Nevada and Florida State and add Virginia Tech and Auburn just because Virginia Tech's been winning, obviously, against the dregs of the ACC in terms of Notre Dame, BC, Georgia Tech, but they're still winning. And Auburn has not beaten a ton of great teams yet, beating up in the Pac-12 powers of Washington and Arizona, as well as a middle-tier Big East team like Xavier. But they're winning, and they're winning, and they're winning, although Auburn just lost to Mississippi, so I could understand if they want to get bumped down. But I would go with Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Virginia Tech, Auburn.
Yeah, David, I kind of like that Virginia Tech argument here, but what about Auburn? Do you think on the heels of that really bad performance at Ole Miss that they belong in the three line?
No, and I got to disagree with Tytel, too, on Florida State. He said he would push them down a bit. A bit? Only a bit. I mean, I mean, they had – there is really nothing – when you look
let's not even look at Auburn yet because I think that we're all going to – not really be going there that way. But Florida State, David, why would you push them down a ton for getting blown out by – Virginia, who's at the top of the seed list here?
Okay, because of what they haven't done. They've beaten LSU, who might make our field, and Purdue, who's 9-7, by a total of 4 points.
But look at Virginia Tech on the left here. That's all they've beaten is Purdue and Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and they beat – well, I'm just not as big on – shut up! Anyway, Well, all these teams have kind of struggled more than you would expect. For Uncle Buzz, everybody's favorite crazy uncle, Buzz Williams. We call him Uncle Buzz here. Has had more trouble than what you would think. Both these teams have really sweating out Florida State, not really blowing out Ball State, and as you mentioned, barely beating Purdue. But same with Florida State, and I guess I'm just kind of soured by the fact that Florida State lost so badly the other night. But I don't know, not to just rip everybody up, but I'm not really big on Auburn either. If you look at their last five games or whatever it is,
let's pull Auburn up instead of attack here on the left against Florida State.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's – okay, so we have nothing really in quadrant run. Murray State is a pretty decent team, but I don't think anybody would look at Murray State and say, oh, there's a team that's on the three line. Well, Auburn barely beat them. Okay, they barely beat them, but they also barely beat Dayton, who's not on the three line. Xavier, I think they needed overtime to beat them. They're not even in the tournament. UAB, who might not even get a bye in Conference USA. So I'm starting to think that this isn't a hiccup when they come out night after night after night and have to sweat out teams that are certainly not in the top half of the bracket, maybe not in the bracket at all, and then they go to Ole Miss and just get flattened. They don't really scream three seed to me either.
Well, Tytel, let me ask you this. You said pull, knock down Florida State, pull up Auburn. Can you look at these profiles? Can you tell me why?
So, I mean, Auburn's definitely been a home court hero with their 0-2 road record, but I mean, they're not losing to an Ole Miss team that's like 8-8. They're losing to a good Ole Miss team, albeit by 15 points. For Florida State, I mean, losing at Virginia and to Villanova, like, that shouldn't be too much of a penalty, but also kind of a home court hero. And I agree, there's not a lot of tier one stuff for Auburn, like none of it. So I would not have a problem with
not a lot. Notice there is not a lot there.
I kind of like the idea of leaving Florida State up here. I don't like the idea of leaving Nevada up here.
What about a team like Kentucky who has beaten North Carolina, who won at Louisville? Neither Florida State or Auburn have done anything like that. They have two wins like that.
Okay, so we've already discussed Virginia Tech, Auburn, Nevada. You want to also take a look at Kentucky here, David,
yeah.
Correct? All right, let me get them to list here. Let's pull their profile up and compare them to this Auburn team, for example, that we were just discussing for this last spot.
Yeah.
And we'll be playing a week from tomorrow, I believe.
A lot of this is going to get sorted out.
Now, there you go. They've beaten North Carolina. They've won at Louisville a lot more than Auburn again. I do agree with you there, David.
And their losses aren't really bad. I mean, the point margin was bad against Duke, but Seton Hall by a point and at Alabama, a game they really played poorly in. I will give you that. But other than that, I get the impression that Kentucky's about to really hit their stride.
Well, you thought they were about to hit their stride, but then they lose the game to Alabama.
Right. Well, now I think that they're – now I really think they're about to
– Oh, okay.
I need a drink.
Tytel, how about this? How about Kentucky versus Va Tech? Isn't there an argument now that Kentucky should be up high on this line, be up on this line?
A good one. I have Kentucky on my four line, so I'm not going to lose sleep if you want to put them on the three. But if you see, Virginia Tech is literally like one basket away from perfection.
I have Virginia Tech up here, so.
Yeah, okay. At the end of the day, I'm going to kind of go with that, and I'm going to let Virginia Tech be that fourth team on the three line. I think
How is Florida State up? Oh, for God.
I agree that Florida State belongs there. I think they've got more than these Auburn and Nevada and Kentucky teams. But Tytel, let me swing back to you now. We do have three teams under consideration, but why don't you give me the next four teams in this?
Florida State was not a protected seed in my field, by the way.
So I like Auburn. I like Nevada. I like Kentucky. So I would throw all three of them in here. If we haven't done the fourth team yet, as of 48 hours ago, I would have said Houston, who's literally a charge call away at the buzzer away from being undefeated. But a loss is a loss. So if you don't like Houston, I would say maybe Mississippi State. I like their resume, even though Clemson is their only big win so far this season.
Mississippi State. David, you could have – hard time convincing me off of Auburn, Nevada, and Kentucky here, but you want to take a shot convincing me off of that fourth team at least?
Teams I have ahead of Mississippi State include
well, how about this is the best one? Let's start with
Houston,
that.
Buffalo, St. John's, Iowa State, Villanova. Well, Auburn's already in the field. I'm not that big on Mississippi State.
Okay. Well, what team do you want to argue that should be there then?
They don't have the profile, so it's probably the harder team to argue, but it is the one I have ranked the highest, and that's Nevada.
Nevada's already in there, number 14.
Oh, Nevada is already. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Come on, Buffett. Okay. Right. Marquette, then.
Okay. Yeah. Let's pull up Mississippi State versus Marquette. Let's take a little bit of a closer look at that argument here. And this is the end of our protected seeds, as we discussed at the top of the show. But Marquette coming up on the left there, coming off of that miracle win over Creighton last night, the game they should have lost.
And they should have lost it, but I will.
It did win the game. At the end of the day, it's a win is a win, correct?
Yep, it is.
We're going to put Mississippi State on the right. So there you go. You got four quadrant one wins there for Marquette, only one for Mississippi State. You got a quadrant three loss for Mississippi State. Ty, tell you, you don't have anything like that for Marquette. You sure Mississippi State is better than Marquette?
I'm not sure. And Marcus Howard is better than anybody on Mississippi State, to be clear. But a couple 5-point losses. The South Carolina loss is looking better and better every day, amazingly. I can't believe I said Frank Martin a couple weeks ago should be fired. Now he's looking like possibly coach of the year material. Marquette has a ton of tier one wins, and they deserve a lot of credit, and I have them coming up soon. But when you're 11-0 at home out of 13-3 overall, that makes you a bit of a home court hero. Not that Mississippi State isn't, but, I mean, the losses by Marquette are tier one losses, but they're all by, like, 9 or more, and Mississippi State's are only by 5. I think it's a coin flip.
All right. David, any response?
I just think 4 versus 1, when the one that they have, Dayton is good at home. I'm aware of that. But I just think that there's way more on this Marquette profile, and I think Marquette's a better team. I think as Mississippi State gets tested a little bit more, that their ranking and perception is going to fall. But even by just – So I guess it's twofold. One, I'm supposing, and I know we're trying not to do that. But secondly, when you look at the data, there's just more there for Marquette.
I'm going to agree with David. I hate doing so. I'm going to flip Marquette in Mississippi State out. And I'm also going to let the puppet take the next four teams here.
Yeah, these are kind of a hard case to make. But I expect – my expectation is that you keep all of them – on this line in the order in which I give them to you. Houston, who we mentioned earlier, who has, as Tytel mentioned, was one charge away. This is where I pull out, and I don't think the real committee will have them this high, but I think they're that good, is Buffalo. I have them way up here. Their ranking is there. I know they're ranked about 18th. That isn't why I have them there, but just to kind of verify that there is another metric out there. The Johnnies, who have a weak profile, but who have played really well against really good teams and have had some close losses, plus they blasted Marquette, who may or may not be a home court hero. And another team that hasn't been good away from home, but I just kind of like them more than anybody else out there, including Mississippi State, is Iowa State.
Iowa State. Okay. I think there's a couple names, significant names we've skipped at this point, including Mississippi State, who you did not put in the field in my slide.
Yes,
But Tytel, you want to tell me, is he wrong on all four or just 3 out of 4?
Just 3 out of 4. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. When you talk about Buffalo, I have to agree that in January, they are as good as Virginia Tech and might even beat them head-to-head. But the strength of schedule, which is right now hugely in Buffalo's favor, is going to totally get turned around compared to Virginia Tech's because of the conferences they play in. Not Buffalo's fault, just a fact of life. Instead of the other guys, I think you're going to start getting some Big Ten teams in here. You talk about loving Marquette. They're good. Guess what? Indiana beat them.
Yeah.
Ohio State's beaten a bunch of power conference teams, as well as a Cincinnati team that was barely good enough to beat Tulsa in overtime tonight. And even though NC State just lost to a good Carolina team, I want them to have some consideration as well for the 5 line.
All right. So you mentioned Indiana, Ohio State, NC State as 3 teams that should be in here. So which ones would you put in over and which ones would you take out of David's?
So I want to keep Houston and get rid of everybody else. St. John's, I would argue, is not even the best team in the Big East, as Villanova proved the other day. Iowa State just lost at Baylor. I could live with Buffalo if you want to push for Buffalo, Chad, but I would take out at least St. John's and Iowa State and throw in Mississippi State and either of the 10 teams. Your choice.
Yeah, I kind of agree that I think St. John's and Iowa what? State, no. David, you are jumping the gun on both those teams. I think they are both in this field and in this field easily, but I think you really jumped the gun on them. And I do like the idea of putting that Indiana team in there along with probably that Mississippi State team. I want to pull up the Indiana profile, especially against.
That was a phenomenal win at Dayton. I mean, I'm sure it was.
Well, let's take a look here at two of these teams, David. St. John's, who you wanted in, versus Indiana, who Titel and I think belongs in. St. John's has done the marvelous thing of beating Marquette and nobody else is going to make this tournament. Well, Indiana has beaten Marquette and Louisville and a Butler team that has a chance to be discussed tonight.
Yeah, and I like Indiana some. I'd kind of like to see them do more away from home, not that the Johnnies have done a whole lot. I know Georgetown's kind of down the list, but I do think that they're winning there at home or winning at Georgetown is a lot more difficult than beating them on a neutral floor, beating them certainly at home.
And look at the Indiana's losses, Duke and Michigan. Come on, you can't fault them for either of those.
And I hate ever conceding an argument, but honestly, the best thing about the Johnnies is the eye test, and it's the two games they lost, in my opinion. To go on the road against those teams and lose by 5-2, that was the one. I was harsh on the Johnnies all offseason, as you all know, on these very podcasts. But the two games they lost, ironically, are why I'm such a believer.
I'll tell you what, I wanted to pull up the other two teams that were kind of this debate here. Iowa State, the team you liked, and Mississippi State, who we just discussed a minute ago. But let's pull them back up again here on the right. There you go. Again, I guess you look at somewhat similar profiles, and Iowa State does have the Kansas win. But yeah,
I think the Kansas win makes it not a similar profile.
Titel, you want to respond on this Iowa State versus Mississippi State argument?
They're both solid teams. Beating Kansas is huge, and beating them by 17 is even more huge. I'll give you that, especially compared to the Tier 1 win at Dayton. I get that. But I would also penalize both these teams. Anyone losing to a Pac-12 school in 2019 or 2018 should be penalized.
I've got nothing.
Well, I am going to leave Mississippi State in there by the skin of their teeth. I think that Iowa State should probably be on this sixth line as we move forward after this. But I think that Indiana and Mississippi State should be the two teams that end up getting in there. And I will go ahead and I guess this is my turn our good friend Rocco's turn, at least, to throw some teams up there.
I'm getting my whiskey. I can't handle this. I'll be right back.
Okay, David is gone, thankfully. Titel, the four teams that we're going to throw up there for next are Wisconsin, NC State, Maryland, and Ohio State. Ohio State, I know, and NC State, I know you mentioned not putting St. John's or Iowa State in at this point. What do you think of the idea of Wisconsin and Maryland at this point as well? It's kind of almost an all-at Big Ten line.
It is. I like them all, and I love the metrics. All four of them, they compare very favorably to – I mean, Florida State's metrics are very similar to both Wisconsin's and Maryland's. Teams getting hot from the Big Ten at the right time, and obviously in the Big Ten you're going to have plenty of chances to prove yourself. NC State's strength of schedule stands out so much from everybody else they put in the field. It's almost embarrassing to put them in, but for the fact that they've won all these games except for the Carolina game and one other, I think. So shame on Kevin Keats for scheduling a bunch of cupcakes, and shame on him for being a home court hero, I guess, to some degree. But obviously, if you're going to win 13 out of 15 and your only two losses are at home to the Tar Heels, and at Wisconsin by four, like, I think that is a decent resume for January.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that these are comparable to Florida State. I agree. That's why I had Florida State down here. That's all I really heard.
Well, David, what about those four teams? Wisconsin, NC State, Maryland, Ohio State. You're gonna have a tough time convincing that NC State and Ohio State don't belong on this list, but do Wisconsin and Maryland belong in, or do St. John's or Iowa State belong in above them, or somebody else even?
Well, I think, obviously, I had St. John's and Iowa State on the five line, so I think that they both belong on this line as far as the teams that we're still looking at. Whiskey, I like you. You had them up a minute ago. But the thing is, it's just that they haven't done much away from home, and that includes losing at Western Kentucky. So, I mean, what's this team doing outside of Madison that's really impressing anyone?
Well, I guess, you know, let me pull up both these Big Ten profiles. Wisconsin on the left there, who, what have they done outside of Madison? They've won at Iowa, they've won at Penn State, they've won at Xavier.
Well, winning at Xavier isn't that hard, and winning at Penn State isn't either. I'll give you the Iowa win. That one was pretty
good. Three road wins. It's more than a lot of these teams that we've put in, way above them, including Duke.
Well, yeah, but Duke doesn't play on the road.
So Wisconsin's fault is that they played on the road, that they actually challenged themselves. You want to penalize them for challenging themselves by playing road games.
I want to not penalize them. They're just a little bit schizophrenic, that's all. Because they also have losses that no one else around here has.
At Western Kentucky.
Yes.
And that's
Minnie at home. They lost to Minnie at home. How many road games has Minnie won? I think that might, yeah.
Well, so how about Maryland there? Should Maryland – which team do you like better there? Tatel, Wisconsin or Maryland, who do you like better? Because I think I'm going to drop one of these teams in favor of Iowa State.
Wow, that's tough. If you would ask me a week ago, I would have liked Wisconsin better, but that's tough. I mean, the Maryland win over Minnesota by 15 on the road was great. And as you can see by their three losses, they're 10 points away. They lost a good team by small margins. I'll go with coin flip. If I had to pick one, I'll go regional bias and go with Maryland over the Badgers, but I think it could easily go both ways.
All right, David, I think I'm going to let you win here.
I actually like Whiskey more than Maryland.
But. Well, I'm going to knock, put Iowa State in here. We're going to knock Whiskey down. We'll leave NC State and Ohio State on here as well. And we have Whiskey and St. John's as two teams we've discussed and still not put in. But, Tytel, let me go back to you again. Who would be the next four teams for you?
I like Whiskey. I like St. John's, although since Villanova just beat St. John's, I want to throw Villanova in there. And even though I think we're going to need a team from the middle part of America, the two I would put in contention are Nebraska, who might lose as we speak during this broadcast, and TCU, who lost a game at Kansas, but it was a tough one, and Azubuike wasn't there. Those would be my two contenders for this line.
All right. So I'll temporarily, David, I'll put Nebraska up there and TCU under consideration and throw your thoughts there on those picks, especially the Villanova and Nebraska TCU.
Well, for starters on Nebraska, there's a couple of things that do not show up on the profile that you have to consider. One is just how much their head coach has elevated the Big Ten when you look at how good it is. And then the other is that they're contending with the dark web conspiracy against them whenever they leave the state of Nebraska. But because of that, Nebraska has not won away from home. What?
In all seriousness, let me throw up these two profiles here of Nebraska and TCU, because I'm kind of leaning towards leaving things as they are. As Tytel said, that with Nebraska in here, TCU not in. Because
is Ohio State in yet?
Yes, they were in the last line.
Okay, they were in the – yeah. I'm trying to delete the – Indiana's in.
TCU, nothing – I mean, their best win is what? At SMU? They haven't beat anybody that's going to make this field.
They haven't. And Nebraska may not have – well, they've beaten Seton Hall at
Seton Hall. They've won at Clemson, who's going to at least
be – Clemson going to be in this field?
They're going to be discussed. Creighton might be discussed. Might be.
Right. Nebraska has got to do something – more than what they've done. I think they're in the field. I don't know if they really belong in the top half. Well, they do.
If you look up here in the top, in this box here that I'm highlighting, the bottom column there, bottom row, this is versus board. The board is, quite frankly, that's my opinion of anybody who should even be on the bubble at the moment. Nebraska 3-4, a lot better than 0-2 for TCU.
Yeah. Oh, I like them more than TCU.
Okay.
If that's who we're discussing. So.
Is there another team you think should be in here that we have not discussed?
Let me see. NC State. We're moving right along.
NC State's already.
Oh, yeah. What about Louisville? I like them more than both TCU and Nebraska.
All right, let's leave Nebraska up there and pull up Louisville. Tytel, what about Louisville? Off of that win at Pitt, the loss at Pitt. I'm sorry.
Well, the loss. Yeah, I mean,
great team. I have them as an 8 seed, so I won't complain about them as a 7 seed. Losing at Pitt last year would have been a death knell. This year, it's a lot more respectable. Imagine that losing at Pitt is a 2-1 loss. Can you imagine that a year ago?
Now, Louisville is certainly not a protected seed caliber team when you just look at the sheer number of losses, but none of them are awful, and some of them aren't even damaging at all. Like losing to Tennessee, who's on the one line, losing to Kentucky, who is protected, losing at Indiana, who has not lost at home, Marquette, a protected seed, and Pittsburgh is, I mean, that's really the only one that isn't really good. And there's a couple of good things too, like the win at home against Michigan State, who's way up there, and Seton Hall, who will be in.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think you convinced me, David. I'm going to knock Nebraska. You convinced me to knock Nebraska out and put Louisville in. Absolutely.
I was talking about Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Nebraska, TCU still under consideration for the next line. Let's see here. David, I think you're up for the next 4 teams, if I'm correct.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into a little bit of garbage here. And of the two that are under consideration, again, this is the second time where I didn't even have them on the line when it was my turn. A team I mentioned a second ago, I had Seton Hall up here.
Okay.
I know this is high, and the paper is really weak, but I had Ole Miss up here. And I realized that that's high. Syracuse, who I understand is very schizo.
Who?
Syracuse. I mean, they have the win at Ohio State, and maybe I
got to put them way down here, below under consideration.
Beneath consideration.
You know what? Fine. Go ahead and do that. And at what point do you pull out Arizona State, who, God, is all over the place?
All right. Tytel, I think you might have a field day with these 4 picks, but let me let you go at it.
ASU is not going to be among my top 8 seeds, but nice try. The metrics are solid, but the eye test is not. You can't lose at home to Princeton and make the top 8 in my mind. Ole Miss is a similar situation to NC State in terms of decent success in the win column, but pretty crappy schedule so far. And obviously the SEC seems to be having a nice little year, so they'll have plenty of chances to win. No shame in losing to Cincy and at Butler. Auburn win by 15 is fantastic. Winning at Vandy, double digits, but a lower tier SEC team. The Baylor win's looking better and better. Kind of a home court hero in terms of 7-0 at home, but it's a shame they didn't play a tougher non-conference schedule. Otherwise, they'd be solidly in. I think they'll make the field. I just don't know if they're going to be 8. I love the Seton Hall pick just because when you're beating teams that include Kentucky and Maryland and St. John's, that's pretty amazing to me, although losing to DePaul should be certainly a major cause for concern. I think we also should have Minnesota under consideration, even though they just lost to Maryland, because as we said, they've beaten a bunch of teams, including Badgers. And I would also throw in teams like Purdue and Cincinnati, that it should at least be under consideration to see how their metrics stack up.
Well, you didn't address Syracuse. Do you think Syracuse belongs in at this point at all?
I have them as an 11 seed, so I have them in, but farther down.
So I can't type in Cincinnati. I can't even type that team name in. So,
The thing about Syracuse.
Let me pull up the Syracuse profile. So
yeah. And I might feel I could easily be talked out of them because I was there is something on here that I really, really like, and that's their two top road wins at Ohio State and at Notre Dame.
You realize Notre Dame sucks this year, David.
Yeah, I know that they suck, but I think that they're good at home.
You realize that they lost to UConn and Old Dominion, and the Old Dominion loss was a home loss.
Yeah.
And the UConn was
this was before Old Dominion lost tonight, by the way.
And you realize they lost to Oregon.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know that Notre Dame isn't very good. You've got to stop that. You can't just keep buzzing.
Syracuse is definitely gone from this list. They're down here at the bottom of the under consideration.
You just can't keep removing all of my teams.
So of the four teams that you gave us, David, Seton Hall is the only one that there. I think Nebraska belongs in here, David. I can't believe that you don't want them in, and I do.
I want them on the one line.
I agree with Tytel about Minnesota also here. Those two teams. And I guess instead of me going to Rock 14, let's just go to Tim for his next best team. And he would have had he would have screwed us up. He would have had Iowa next.
Wow.
Oh, Rocco.
And so we're going to veto that also. Let's see. Between TCU, Purdue, Ole Miss, Arizona State, Cincinnati, I'm kind of leaning at the fact that we've had TCU up there long enough. I think that they're the team that should go in at this point.
I suppose.
And they would have been Rocco's next pick beyond Iowa, by the way.
Okay. I mean, they did win at SMU.
Tytel, let me go back to you for four teams beyond this group, which is much improved off of what David gave me, I think.
No, it isn't. You're wrong. Everyone watching this knows you're wrong. And Syracuse...
You know what, David? That was my first ever triple veto on one of these shows, I think.
Then it means you're getting worse.
Tytel, what do you got for four more teams? And like Purdue, Ole Miss, Arizona State, Cincinnati, Syracuse have been mentioned.
I mean, somebody tell Rocco that Purdue beat Iowa, so give me Purdue over Iowa for the nine line.
Right.
I kind of like Cincinnati. They almost lost to Tulsa tonight, but thank God they won. So even with their atrocious strength of schedule, I want to throw them in. I'm still not ready to have ASU in. I have them as a 10 seed. We've already got Seton Hall, I think, thank God. Yes. So I think we should have LSU and Texas under some consideration here.
What about another team? Hey, keep prodding. They won a big game the other night. What about the Temple Owls?
They're getting there.
Yeah.
Put Temple under consideration. I kind of like Ole Miss here at this point, even though we knocked them down off the last line also. I think that's a team to seriously consider. But, David, who would you knock off this list if we're going to put Ole Miss and or Temple up here?
I'm just not there with Purdue yet. I think that they will get there, but they would probably be the team that I knocked down. When you look at their profile, you should notice something about it, and that's that there really isn't anything on it.
But they're better than Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Good.
They're better than Iowa. Let me throw up that Iowa profile on the right here so people can see what that Iowa team looks like.
Before about to hit Rocco when he's not here, but let's hit Rocco when he's not here.
Yeah.
Should load here in a second there. That is not the Iowa profile. Otherwise, they would easily have been in already.
I think that is Iowa's profile.
Okay. Yeah, there it is. Okay. So, well, why not Iowa then?
Yeah, why not Iowa? That's a good pick by Rocco. All right, Rocco. Not on the show.
It's a Tytel. Let me throw it back to you. Three Quadrant One wins. Iowa State at Northwestern, Nebraska. No bad losses.
May I refer you to the non-conference strength of schedule for each, please?
231.
Versus? Thank you.
Well, they played the team of the people, so they're absolved from the strength of schedule.
Yeah, they played Savannah State. They played Alabama State. They played – I mean, yeah, they played – Well, they played bad teams. They played really bad teams, okay?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't mess around when it came to playing bad teams. That was
versus the board. Purdue's played nine versus the board teams.
Yeah.
I have been kind of convinced out of Purdue, though. I think we should put Ole Miss in on this nine line over Purdue, and they're the team that I want to go with over Purdue at this point. David, do you like Texas there?
Okay. Just because, like, we're kind of getting to the point to where, you have teams that either are just sort of stagnant. There's just really nothing exciting or really anything bad. So you have your hold serve teams, and then you have your schizophrenic teams like Texas, who have beaten North Carolina and lost to, I believe it was Radford.
Right.
I tend to, at the end of the day, not always, but generally lean towards the schizophrenic teams because at least they've done something. Texas did beat North Carolina away from home, and they have some other nice wins.
And Purdue.
And Purdue. And
Kansas State on the road.
Yep.
By 20.
And they lost to VCU, Radford, and Providence at home. I mean,
right, yeah. So, I mean,
it's just, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Let's let you throw up the next four teams here. Temple, Iowa, Purdue, Arizona State, and Syracuse still under consideration, but you can go with anybody you want.
Okay, let me just get my – so we have Ole Miss in, don't we?
Yes, I just put Ole Miss in.
Okay, I still have Syracuse. I still have Arizona State, who, again, very schizophrenic. And then I have Temple, and I kind of go back and forth between – LSU and Cincinnati.
Well, we already put both those in on the nine.
Well, we already put both those in.
Okay, how about Iowa or Purdue, which we knocked out?
Well, how about UCF? Another bland team with a bloated record. So, again, a non-schizophrenic team with a bloated record.
Well, Tytel, how about this idea of, number one, we have to discuss Syracuse again briefly here, but then Arizona State, Temple, and UCF on this line.
No, as we all know from experience, when we get to the double-digit seeds, we have to start holding our nose. And like David said, it's a little garbagey here and there. I like ASU at the 10th spot. I always have Syracuse at an 11, but I'm okay with them at the 10th spot. I'm not putting two American teams in the 10th seed. And if you ask UCF and Temple who they would win against each other, good news. We've already seen it. UCF beat Temple. So I'd keep UCF, ditch Temple, and put in one of the two teams under consideration. And, of course, to Rocco's detriment, I would put Purdue over Iowa.
I'm gonna go with Rocco.
Yeah, Chad's doing what he wants. Next week, Chad is just gonna give us his list, and that's gonna be the show.
It is going to be UCF, not Temple. UCF is in there. Iowa is in there. Temple and Purdue under consideration, although I think that they both belong on the 11 line. We are down only six at-large bids remaining at this point. And David, I will give you the Syracuse at this point because Tytel kind of agreed with it, and although I'm still not that keen on it.
I don't like what that.
I want to throw up two more teams at this point here, which I'll throw in off of Rocco's list, and it would be that Purdue team first of all, who we've discussed several times.
Thank already. You.
The other team that he would throw out there, which I think is an interesting debate. What about Alabama?
In the discussion.
David, your thoughts on Alabama?
I'll
put the team sheet up here. They do have that nice win over Kentucky.
They have that. They don't have much in the way of bad. It's a home win against Kentucky and some bland wins. I mean, there just isn't – it's a home win against Kentucky. They haven't beaten anyone else that we've looked at so far. And have they beaten anyone else? I think Murray State's probably the best team that they beat after that. So – I'm not too horribly excited about Alabama. There's a couple teams I like better. And
who do you like better than?
Temple. Well, Temple was one. Let's see. I know they beat them at home. I actually like Murray State more.
Well, then we're kind of getting into that realm now where we may start talking a couple conferences we haven't mentioned yet, such as the OVC or the A-10.
Yeah, profile-wise, Alabama's probably got the best profile, but teams I kind of like, San Francisco, who's very bland, but I think they're pretty good. I think if the two of them played each other, I'd pick them to beat Alabama. We're to the point now to where I'm kind of going round and round and round. One team I like more than them is Lipscomb, who has the win at TCU and who has a couple other decent wins as well.
Well, Tytel, let me ask you here. Purdue, I know you want them in. So what about Alabama? Would you have them? Would you bump them for one of these other four teams or somebody else?
I had them last weekend just off the bubble. They might be making a comeback, as you can see by putting them there. Thanks. Their metrics are great. And just think about this. Like, it's one thing to beat Kentucky. Like, that's a great win any year. But it's a shame for Coach Avery Johnson. Like, any other year that you beat Arizona and Wichita State, that's like a top three win. This year, unfortunately, they're both middle of the road because both teams have come back down to earth. So it's a case of great – he should be rewarded for scheduling traditionally good teams. He just happened to catch them in an off year. To his credit, he beat them both. So I can live with Alabama here. In terms of the other teams, I think I want Temple here just because it was a huge win over what we have as a five seed. And as far as the under consideration teams from smaller schools, they deserve to be under consideration. So I'm glad we have them in here. I would still go with a Big East team like maybe Creighton or Butler. Oh. And if I had to do a coin flip, Butler beat Creighton this year and Ole Miss, so I think that I might give them the edge. But Creighton does have wins over Clemson and Providence, and he didn't lose to Georgetown like Butler did, so coin flip.
Well, David, let's have that discussion there. I think that there is a good case for another Big East team. And I think you got to prefer that Butler profile on the right, don't you, over the Creighton profile?
Right. Let's put Butler next to Lipscomb.
Okay. I'll be dump Creighton out of here because, because with the way they blew that Marquette game, I'm going to have trouble putting them in today. So let's put the – okay, there's Lipscomb.
Okay, yeah. At TCU, one of four road wins against the top 25 team, although I know TCU just lost at Kansas. They may be dropping out. But I think that there's two wins there that are arguably better than anything Butler has.
Look at Butler's number of games against the board, 4-6, 10 games against the board.
Yeah, well, I mean, like how many games has Texas Southern played against the board?
A few.
All right, so David is having me pull up a Texas Southern profile.
No, I wasn't suggesting we look at them.
Absolutely, we're suggesting.
0-3 versus the board, David. Baylor's not on the board. Oregon's not on the board. Texas A&M is not on the board.
Yeah, how does a team get on the board? Oh, wait. Chad decides who's on the board.
So you think Baylor belongs to the bubble
Chad
discussion?
Chad decides who's on the board.
I kind of am – I'll go with Tytel. Let's give Baylor that spot number 44 there. There are still two more at-large bids remaining, though. Lipscomb, Murray State, San Francisco have been discussed. David, why don't you tell me who the next one team is? Let's go one team at a time here.
Out of those three,
it could be somebody else because there's a couple teams we haven't that aren't on there. Let me throw another team up there that we haven't discussed yet. What about VCU?
Good team. Yeah, good team to look at. A schizophrenic team. They don't always look good at all, but I think they look good more than not. Good team. Again, I've been trying to keep up with my notes as we've been going through this and failed. Out of that whole group, VCU would be the team I would have the highest. Good pick.
All right. Well, if I put VCU in, it doesn't really give us a get rid of me at large business because that would be our A-10 champion. So, Tytel, still two spots left.
Can we get my Wildcats under consideration? I know that they are not a protected seed by any means, and they might not make it this year. But thankfully for them, the Pac-12 is so bad that even if their strength of schedule goes down, their metrics are pretty solid. I think they compare favorably to some of the teams we have on the 8 line. And obviously, like, when you lose at Alabama, it's still a loss. And when you win at UConn, it's not that impressive. And when you beat an Iowa State team, thank God they won because that's the only thing they have to cling to right now. But Iowa State had suspended guys and injured guys, so not looking great. The Baylor loss is looking better, but it's still a loss at home. They never lose to non-conference teams at home. But losing to Gonzaga and Auburn is nothing to lose sleep about. The shame that they beat up on a bunch of bad teams. I wish they had a little more meat, but they're going to have tons of tier 3 wins thanks to the Pac-12.
Yeah, as crazy as this is, once San Francisco's populates, the resumes aren't that different. I think Arizona's is a little better. Well, maybe a lot better because neutral floor over Iowa State, yeah, it's only one win, but it's infinitely more. As much as I like this San Francisco team and as well as they played against Buffalo, they did – go to Santa Barbara. Now, I don't want to beat them up too much for that loss at Santa Barbara. It's not easy to win at Santa Barbara, but we're still talking about NCAA tournament caliber teams. I don't think Arizona would have lost that game. I think it's comparable to winning at Connecticut, maybe not even as difficult as winning at Connecticut.
And you look at that strength of schedule, the 1-1 versus the board, the win versus the board is Stephen F. Austin, so it's not really a win against the truth.
How is Stephen F. Austin on your board?
Because they're going to be your Southland champion. They're in as an auto bid. That's why they're on the board.
I was Abilene Christian.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and put Arizona in then. Does give us one spot left. We've got Murray State, San Francisco, Lipscomb. David, you want to make the call here who we're going to go with or somebody else?
I think Murray State is the best team. I think Lipscomb is the best profile. I'll tell you what, David. I don't want to make an assumption. I'd actually go with Lipscomb.
I'll tell you what, David. I'll put Murray State and Lipscomb both in, and guess what? Tytel, we still need one more team because – oh, no, actually, Lipscomb – how did Lipscomb
– Well, we don't have an A-Sun team.
If they're an at-large, you're saying, right?
Right. I thought we should have one more at-large spot left. And it says at-large.
Can we throw Clemson's profile under consideration?
Okay, let's take Lipscomb off there for a second. Let's throw Clemson instead. I don't know why that said at-large bids complete when we threw up Clemson, threw up the other team. But Clemson, let's take a look at their profile.
Oh, crap. Do we need to pause and count?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay. We've done that before. In the past.
Very similar profile to what we've seen for the last several picks. Not a lot in Tier 1. Not any bad losses. Although if you're going to say they lost to Creighton, I mean, we see all this, like, these average teams they lost at Syracuse and Creighton. You beat Lipscomb, so I wonder if it would – can you imagine it coming down to a coin flip between Clemson and Lipscomb and the Clemson win over Lipscomb as the deciding factor?
Yeah, I mean, it may be. It's kind of hard to argue. I mean, again, whenever two teams have similar profiles and they've played head-to-head and one of them won decisively, and I know it was at Clemson, but it's kind of hard to argue that Lipscomb belongs in ahead of Clemson. The other teams that I have down that we haven't really looked at yet, Kansas State, I'm not really married to them. North Texas, who I don't know, may or may not get in.
Would be an at-large bid anyhow. Yeah.
Florida, who I'm not big on. I mean, right now it's just getting to the point to where maybe we should take the tournament back down to 64 teams. But I am fine with Clemson as the last team if that's who we're kind of looking at there.
Right. So if you know, kind of based on this, let me throw a couple other teams in there that we did not mention. Big win tonight for Wofford out of the SoCon. That may be the best team in that conference that has that Furman team that everyone discussed. Yeah. Georgia State, another team, the best team out of the Sun Belt. I'll throw Lipscomb and North Texas and a bunch of other teams. And in fact, right now, if I did this correctly, we should populate the rest of the field. Right there, there's Lipscomb and North Texas, along with Irvine, Charleston, Yale, Stony Brook, New Mexico State, MVC down on the 14 line, Texas Southern on the 15 line, and all the way down to Norfolk State at the bottom.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong 13 line. College of Charleston has had their struggles. Stony Brook on the 14 line is really interesting, and I find it interesting you went with Yale, Chad.
I went with Yale. Tytel, you're not happy about that, but when you lose at home to Monmouth, I go with Yale.
And where is the Ivy League tourney in March?
Yale. Well, I'll tell you what, we only ended up with three teams that we even discussed that did not make this field, being Kansas State, Creighton, and San Francisco. Let me just throw it out there. Is there anybody else that we did not discuss that should have got discussed at this point? Because I'm not offended by any of those three teams missing.
Right. I've got one that we would have discussed, I think, had the result been different tonight. I liked Old Dominion. I thought the win over VCU and another win
tonight, though.
Yeah, and they lost tonight, and it's the second, like, really bad-smelling loss that they've had in about a week. If any team from Conference USA could have gotten inside the bubble, I would have said it was them, based on what they did out of conference with the win over VC. Who else did they beat, Chad? It's driving me crazy. I can't.
They beat Syracuse.
Syracuse, thank you.
On the road.
Yeah, on the road. So I think had they not lost tonight, we should have at least discussed them, but not really – it's again, out of the three teams that we didn't take, I don't see how you rank Old Dominion ahead of any of them.
John, anybody else that we didn't discuss that you think is at least close?
I think Florida is at least close just because they've beaten a lot of power conference teams, Stanford, West Virginia, Butler, Arkansas. Obviously losing a ton of games is not going to help their cause, but when you beat a bunch of power conference teams, as you can see for the metrics, when you're 20-10, Pom, you deserve consideration. I also want to point out, when's the last time we had a Final Four team come back the next year as a 14 seed? Yeah. I think you're right. It's just amazing to me.
I think that's where they belong right now, and I think that right now that they are probably the best team in the MVC, but barely. That conference is a mess. But
yeah,
I'll give a shout to Rocco here. There's two other teams he had on his list. no surprise to anybody, he had Washington on it for some reason. He also had Fresno State on it for some reason. I don't really think that they're anywhere close to the bubble, but.
Well, if anybody else from the Mountain West is going to do it, I think it's going to be them after the win over Utah State last night.
But I guess on that note, at this point, if you want to go down and look at that bracket, you could do so, right?
Yeah, you're allowed to scroll down now. It's been bracketed. I don't know what I still don't know what the bracket looks like. We'll know here in a second. But
okay. But I guess on that note, let me run any final thoughts. John, any other final thoughts for the evening?
Just the fact that now that we're in conference play, it's time to prove yourself. And a couple teams who had tough losses this week does not get any easier. We mentioned Creighton losing to Marcus Howard and the Marketeers in overtime on Wednesday. All they have to do is face Villanova on Sunday. We have Clemson had a tough loss to Syracuse last night. The reward on Saturday is playing number one seed Virginia, who's undefeated. So it starts to be a thing where I know every game counts, but you cannot get in a losing streak. And when you have tough losses like that and you have to rebound against great teams like an undefeated team and a defending champ, it's very hard to stick around if you're not going to get it done.
David.
I have no final thought. What a bracket. Yeah.
On that note, on behalf of John Tytel and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Check out the final bracket below.
Down there.
We'll knock it up on the bracketology tab also, I think. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, we do.
We'll be back Monday night with another Hoops HD report. But thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.